Glory to Jesus. And in your name we say thank you, Jesus. And Lord, thank you, God, that that grace that has so touched us, that you are all we need. And Lord, thank you that you're all we need. And Lord, how we need you. And Lord, thank you, God, that again, in your faithfulness, you increase the capacity of how we need you. And Lord, we know that you do that through trial. You do that through suffering. You do that through everything, Lord God. And oh, that's how wonderful it is that you increase the wineskin, so that more of you and more of the joy of the Lord and the power of your might would be poured in our life. Lord, thank you again. Beyond what I could ever even say or adequately express, the gratitude, oh my, that only you know. Yes, as Peter said, Lord, thou knowest. And Lord, I know that you know. You know our hearts today. Lord, you know that we love you. And we're thankful that you put in our lives that we love you. Oh, we love you. We adore you. We worship. We praise you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And oh, what an appearing it's going to be. Oh, when we see you. Oh, when we behold you. And when we hold you. Thank you. Thank you, beloved Lamb of God. Oh, that moment when we say, oh, behold the Lamb of God. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, I can hear John the Baptist say, behold the Lamb of God. Oh, and how wonderful to have that love strike us, God, and all by the power of your might, the one that sheds the love abroad, the love of God abroad in our hearts. Thank you for it. Lord, contain us, constrain us. Lord, let me remain sober for their sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Aren't you grateful to God? You know your need for Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. Let's open our Bibles today. 2 Samuel chapter 23, and then we will go over to 1 Corinthians 15. So 2 Samuel 23, and then over to 1 Corinthians 15. And in the 14th verse, we'll pick it up there, of the 23rd chapter. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, the house of bread, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And praise God that we know right there that this word, and especially this passage, this is all unto the Lord. And I thank God how David was so mightily used to testify the word of the Lord, the word of his grace to us. And once again here, how David was encouraged in his life, maybe, and I'm sure unbeknownst to him, but he was here to encourage us in what the King desires the most in our lives. And I'm talking about what the King desires the most in the mighty men. I believe that we have hearts here today. I do want to be a mighty man of God. And I understand that that is in the power of his might that we've been rejoicing in this morning. That is truly the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth. The true worshiper, the one that draws nigh in fervent love to kiss him. Not the one that goes around beating his chest, oh no. The one that strikes his chest and says, oh Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Oh, that heart that's so humble in the humility before him, that knows that he is everything and I am nothing, but oh, what he's called me to. What he's placed in my life, his own very life, that now I am a son of God. Oh, praise his name for his great grace. But what encouragement we have here. The King desires from us bring me the word. Fellowship with me in the word. Just a cold cup of water. Now you think about what we know a king would want, in a sense, a natural king. Gold, silver, rewards, lands, reigning over all of these different peoples. Oh, yes, but this king, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, this so surpasses any of that. This king desires merely the greatest gift, the greatest thing to him, just a cold cup of water. Our Lord is not looking for great acts or great feats in our life. The only thing the Lord is looking for in our life is the greatest thing there ever will be, the Word. Bring me the Word. Now, brothers and sisters, God help us. Because this really is against our nature in a lot of ways. God help us to not be ones that would just be showing up for a grand event once in a while. Showing up to just, again, maybe show how much we're dedicated. But the Lord here, I believe, is encouraging something far more deep. Just be consistent. By the grace of God, just be one that will be encouraged in the small things. The one that tends to what the King wants each and every day. The small things. Brothers and sisters, this is the good fight of faith. This is the fight of faith that gets us to fight against what we feel. Fight against that somehow I need to be seen, or to fight against I need to be heard. My feelings need to be known. By the grace of God, may we just get down to the well and get the water. Amen. May we fellowship in the Word with the King. And I was thinking about each and every one of us here today. Do you realize that He is so pleased this morning? You've brought Him the one thing that He wants more than anything. Each of us here today have a cold cup of water. We've broke through that host. We've broke through that enemy line, brothers and sisters, believe it or not. When we go to get the Word of God, when we go to bring that Word, praise the Lord, unto Him, isn't that exactly what Abel was instructed from the very beginning? Bring me the lamb. Bring me the Word. Just bring me the blood of the lamb. See, that's what He wants. He wants that fellowship. He wants that, again, that encouragement, moment by moment. Lord, I am so thankful that You have given me everything. I am blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. It's You, Lord. And I'm just bringing this life back to You. I am bringing, praise God, the Word of Your grace that has been built in me. I'm going to the well, praise the Lord, and bringing the cold cup back to Him. Go on over with me to 1 Corinthians. Look what it says there in 15:58. Brother Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, my much loved ones, I believe he's speaking to us. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, I am pretty confident there were some that knew maybe that these three mighty men slipped away. You're going to go do what? You're going to go risk your lives and go through the Philistine camp and their army to just get what? The king's crazy. Huh? That word that he's looking for, that word that he wants in reciprocation back to him, isn't that what we fight against all the time? You see how real this is to our lives? Oh, yes, brothers and sisters, but as it says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Need that Holy Ghost, don't we? In the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What he's telling us there is a reward is coming. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, it is. A reward is coming. Things that we're going through down here. Things in my life that are happening down here. You know what? They may not seem much to others. My life, in a lot of ways, may not even seem much to me. What I do, what you do, may even get you to contemplate, wow, I don't even think I've made even a dent. But by faith unto God, it's not in vain. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, no. The treasure, brothers and sisters, that is being laid up by the grace of God. As the Word of God says, you just stay with the stuff, honeys. Let me tell you something. The glory that shall be revealed in you, the far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, the mother load of the riches of Christ. Do you think maybe it's just over that next hill? Do you think it just might be today, praise God, as I'm driving home? Oh, hallelujah. Yes, brothers and sisters, it's so true. You've heard that story before, how, you know, there was that inheritance that was given, and there those ones went off to fight and to get all of that from the enemy that God had given them and prepared for them. And here they came back, and there were those that just stayed with the stuff. They didn't actually go out to physically battle. But the Lord told them divinely, let me tell you something. It's going to be all equally divided. The ones that stayed with the stuff are going to be rewarded just as much as those that went out to the battle. Praise be to God. Oh, I could see lots of things being said to those three guys. Now, wait a second. You guys are just nuts. You know, we're over here. We're really trying to devise how to defeat this enemy. And you're going in there just trying to sneak around and get some water out for the king who's lost his mind. No, it's all unto the Lord. We're going in for the better part. See, people don't understand the mighty men of God, do they? They don't. They think that they're wasting their time. They think that they're going after something that isn't worth anything. They think that you're, you know, barking up some type of a tree or whatever that just doesn't even make any sense. Well, to them that don't know, they just don't know. To them that don't have that vision, they can't see. Do you understand that? Do you get that? You know what the enlightened eyes of understanding see? They see that that cold cup of water through that garrison is the only thing I want to go get. That's a single purpose in a heart. That's a mark for the prize for the high calling of God that others are just going to say, you just go ahead and waste your time. You're matter of fact, you're just risking your life to do that. Oh, no. Whoever loses his life for my sake, they'll find it. This is the abundance of life. This is the excitement of life. This is the glory of life. Because they knew it was the king's desire. They knew it wasn't for man's glory. It wasn't for the glory of the people's choice. It wasn't for the glory of the masses. Oh, this is what the king desires. Oh, brothers and sisters, I just feel like praising him even more. How about you? I do. I can't even contain myself. And how sweet he is and how good he is that I've heard that voice that said, oh, if I could just have that cup of water from that well in Bethlehem. Oh, Lord, and you've given me the Spirit. You've made me this mighty man of heart. I'm going in to get it. By the grace of God, the power of your might is going to sustain me. By the grace of God, I'm fully purposed. I am passionate. I am delirious. I'm going in to get that water to bring back to you. Oh, praise his name. Now, brothers and sisters, these are just little things, aren't they? This is something that is only heard really in the still small voice. This is something I'm going to tell you is just like the widow's mite. Something that only he sees. Amen? Isn't that the most beautiful thing? Have you ever really been in love with somebody? Huh? Have you really been in love with somebody? Aren't there things in your life when you're really in love with somebody that's just for you too? Just not for everybody else. Just ours. Maybe even something real quirky. Nobody else, no other couple would even understand. This is just kind of our thing. Yeah, this is the quirky one with him. This is our thing. This is the bride's thing. This is his wife's thing. This is only, you know, again, this is where he doesn't, you know, take you to the Ritz-Carlton or Elway's for your dinner. He wouldn't mess with that riffraff. This is where he takes you out and, oh, we're going to get in here in the fiery furnace and have this one, honey. We're going to go out on the backside of nowhere where nobody else is, where nobody else wants to go, and I'm going to give you the feast. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you the best of the best. I'm going to take you away from even all of the dreams that you had in your life and those things that you wanted to go after. Those things that you pursued, and maybe there was an event, maybe there was a time in your life that you got away from those. That, in a sense, the encouragement of the Lord. And maybe some of those things were dashed or popped. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And he divinely knew that path that you were taking. Because you know what? Those are the before-ordained good works that ye should walk therein. And even though others stood by and said, oh, you've gone away that can never be repaired. God said, well, honey, I knew you were going to take that way. And by the way, it's the way to the throne of glory to be with me. Do you see that? That's who this is. This is the mighty man that continues to run through that camp and to go get that water to share with the king. Oh, yeah. Oftentimes, you run through that camp. Even through a great failure, you didn't quit. I'm so kooky that I know that, you know what, nothing can separate me from the love of God. I'm so kooky that he will in no wise cast me out. Huh? Oh, my life, even as a Christian, even though I know better, even though it didn't have to be that way, praise be to God, I'm living the glory. Oh, yes, son, it had to be that way. Amazing how he ties it all together. But see, brothers and sisters, God isn't in, or after, I should say. He's not after the big sensational things. Oh, no. He showed us magnificently time and time again. He was even looking for the wee little man in a tree. Huh? Can you imagine that? Those disciples were always shaking their head about Jesus. Huh? What are you messing with that little guy in the tree? He's a nut getting up there anyway. Something wrong with him. Hmm? What do you mean, Jesus, somebody touched you? We've been out here in this crowd. They've been touching you all day long. Oh, no. Who touched me? That's the one I'm looking for. That one that everybody gave up on. That one that went and tried to seek out help from everybody to help her. And they tried. Oh, but there must be something wrong with you, lady, because you're not getting any better. You must not even have faith. You must maybe have done something so wicked that nothing can help you. Oh, and that was just the one he was looking for. He said, who touched me? Note that it was the one with the issue. The one with the issue. I raise all my hands. The ones with the issue. Oh, yes. He showed us so sweetly that he was after the Gideon, the less of the least of his household. And that was a lowly household. He's all about the faith the size of a microscopic mustard seed. Isn't that beautiful? He's not looking for your grand speech. He's not. He's not waiting for your grand, in a sense, confession or appearance. He just wants you to utter, Jesus. Just Jesus. That's why Paul said, I must decrease. He first said, Lord, you must increase. But I must decrease. I must decrease. Lord, I want you to be so magnified. I want you to be so lifted up that I must completely disappear. It must be all you. It must be none of me. I want to give you the greatest of glory. I must decrease. Now, people are always asking me, Brother, would you please give me something practical? Oh, the Lord's going to have to shut my mouth right now. I could get into something that I might be told to take a sabbatical. But I'm going to tell you, this is probably the greatest practical point of living God could ever give you. Be consistent in those little things. Every day, by the grace of God, just show up in every part of what your little meaningless life is to this world, but the magnificent meaning your life is to God. Be in the small things. Be engaged in what others and even your brain tells you is so trivial. You spouses here today, show up every day and love your spouse. Love. Parents, parent every day. Every day. Anybody can throw a big event. Anybody can show up with a big present. But the champions of life, they show up every day. The champions of life are not thanked. Oftentimes the champions, they're not appreciated. The champions of life are as the greatest champion, the only champion that ever lived, our Lord and Savior. They're bruised and they're battered. They're spit upon. They're not appreciated. They're ignored. By the grace of God, show up every day. For what you do is unto the Lord. I so love the Apostle Paul. He did not come to preach a monumental sermon. He never did. That wasn't what he was after. He didn't come to give a big show and then to leave. Matter of fact, it was maybe magnified so sweetly in Acts 20:31. It said that he stayed in this one place over 3 years, preaching night and day, the same things, encouraging these ones with tears and warning. Mary was just satisfied with the feet of Jesus. Martha, so many things there, and I appreciate my sister, and I'm encouraged with many things. But what was magnified in that day, she was caught up in an event. She was caught up in
a feast as opposed to the feeding. John, the disciple that Jesus loved, he just loved the Lord's simple breast. Peter, it took a long time to learn because he was still trying to show everybody how faithful he was and how much he loved God and how he wanted to make it known to everybody that he would never forsake the Lord. Well, just a cold cup of water every day. Brothers and sisters, don't be looking for your payday down here. Oh, no. No. I always remember that sweet story that Brother Hill used to talk of. There was a pastor that the Lord called out to go to Africa, and he ministered there for many years and gave his life to that. And I believe he'd been there 20 or 30 years, and he was returning home, and he was coming back on a ship, and they were pulling into the New York Harbor there, and he happened to be on the ship that President Teddy Roosevelt was on coming back. And as that ship got near to the dock, the man saw a band, and he saw crowd and signs and banners. He couldn't see them, but he got a little bit excited. He thought, oh my goodness, maybe they're going to show me a little love, show me a little appreciation. And as he got closer, as that ship pulled into that dock, he realized that wasn't for him at all. It was for that president that was returning from that grand safari. He had killed some more animals. And that pastor, he expressed that it wasn't just sorrow, it was downright bitterness that touched his heart. And he uttered the words, Lord, I gave my whole life to you. And as all of those ones got off the ship and as all that happened, he just sat there, and there wasn't even one person that even came out to greet him. Not one. And as he kind of bowed his head and he was really in a quandary, he heard the voice of the Lord encourage him. He said, son, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. And I'll go a little further, because I know you too. You've lived this. Yeah, you have. I have. And not only did he tell me that, son, you're not home yet, he said, do you realize that I'm preparing a homecoming for you? Do you realize that I went to prepare a mansion for you? And I'm still preparing that for you. And do you realize, son, as much as you see in that word and as much as you love me, all by my grace, son, that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men, what God has prepared for those that love him? And all I could say to him was, oh Lord, what a homecoming it's going to be. And I'm just encouraged a little bit more, mighty men. Let's just go out. If the Lord tarry today, if he tarry tomorrow, let's go right through that host again. And oftentimes that host is right here. You know what I'm saying. Amen? Right here. Let's just go get that cold cup of water. And let's go fellowship with the King. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time, and thank you for your intimate words to us. Lord, we so love how you love us, how your word so penetrates us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you that you ravish our hearts. And in that, as we respond and as we are brokenhearted and in contrite spirit before you, as you're looking through that lattice, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as you're peering upon your beloved bride, oh, the word ravished couldn't even express your heart today. Lord, I know you're well pleased. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And oh, the ear that we have been given by your grace to hear the Spirit and what your Spirit is saying, praise God, to this church. And Lord, again, by your grace, oh, I can't imagine. But oh, that's just what your word does. To even be of that part, the Church of Philadelphia. Oh, and you're going to appear. Oh, and when you appear, Lord, we're going to be like you. Oh, how our hearts groan and ache just to see you and to hold you. Lord, thank you again for just the small things to us, but oh, the grandest things to you. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.